them an honest look and maybe even act on some. I'd like to act on them, but they have to, as he said, not cost us anything.
Rukita says at a time of financial instability, it's important not to add to the country's spending, and that's a sentiment shared by Republican Congressman Rodney Davis of Taylorville. The president also says he plans to release a new college scorecard that parents and students can use to assess a school's performance. But Davis has some concerns about that.
Is it going to take resources away from the University of Illinois and the other 8 universities and colleges I have in my district? Is it going to take resources away from educating students and go into another level of bureaucracy? That's why I'm very concerned about that. I'm very concerned about the impact that program and that plan of action may have on my district.
President Obama also wants the country to provide pre-kindergarten schools for 4-year-olds and offer federal incentives to states that provide full-day kindergarten. For more coverage of the State of the Union, including reactions from many local politicians in the Champaign area, please visit us online at wyll.illinois.edu. Now, in part 3 of our series on political families in Champaign County, we'll take a look at a mother and daughter who are both longtime elected office holders. Illinois Public Media's Jim Meadows has this profile.
Linda Frank and her daughter, attorney Deb Frank Finan, are both Republicans with decades of political experience between them. Frank recently retired after serving 5 terms as Champaign County Circuit Clerk, while her daughter Deb serves on the Champaign City Council. Linda Frank was first in her family to run for public office, but even before her family had politicians, she says they loved politics.
When I was growing up, my mom was a election judge. And she worked at what she called City Hall. And so politics was something that we always discussed at the dinner table growing up.
And that continued when you were growing up?
Oh, sure. Because my dad was law partners with Tim Johnson. And my mom eventually was on the county board. So it was just part of what we did. We spent summers campaigning and we talked about it all the time.
Something that occurs to me is that there must have been families out there where the take on politics was totally different, and that you say you might have gone to school or something with kids who just knew nothing of politics, or what they got from their parents was that all politicians were bad.
I'm not sure I remember that as a kid, but my daughter, she finds it strange that there are kids who don't talk about politics, who don't know how government works at the level that she does. She knows about county government and she knows about city council and how taxes pay for fixing potholes in the street. And she just thinks that everybody should understand it that way. And, you know, she's only 11. Lots of little 11-year-olds are not that interested in, you know, how we get a pothole fixed.
And she, like Deb, has attended council meetings where Deb used to go to county board meetings with me and just sees how the whole system works.
I'm just trying to imagine how a public government meeting looks to somebody when they're a kid.
Sometimes she's interested in whatever we're discussing because we've talked about it at home and, oh, I wonder where the votes are going to be and this is important to me. But she particularly likes sitting in the TV chair so she can, you know, be on Channel 5.
And, you know, the years go by with both of you holding political office. I mean, did you talk about things much, and did you have advice for your mom as well?
Oh, sometimes. I mean, I think we trust each other and trust each other's instincts. She's often the phone call I make at 10 o'clock when I'm coming home from a city council meeting and, you know, something's happened that I want to talk to somebody about. And she's often up because she watched us on TV and she'll say, oh, you know, I thought this or that about your discussion. So we're still in touch a lot.
I've never told Deb how to vote, or even suggested how she should vote on an issue. But because we have the experiences, we know the same players who come to the meetings, and it's just a fun conversation for us.
That's Linda Frank, along with her daughter, Champaign City Councilwoman Deb Frank Finan. Frank recently stepped down after 21 years as Champaign County Circuit Clerk. But she's still politically active as a Republican precinct committee member, and says she's leaving her options open. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Public Media.
You can hear all three reports on politics in the family at our website, will.illinois.edu. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and one thing you may have noticed over the last couple of years is a big change in the dynamic in love matches for famous athletes. NPR commentator Frank DeFord looked into this.
Gentlemen of a certain age might make a nostalgic note that today, Valentine's Eve, is the 80th birthday of Kim Novak. One of Miss Novak's most famous movie roles was in Picnic, where she played the gorgeous ingenue who could have married the son of the richest man in town, but instead fell for a hunk of a bum who was an old football star. Picnic is being revived on Broadway, as is Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, where, guess what? Maggie, the beautiful Scarlett Johansson, is married to a hunk of a bum who is a former football star. I bring this up especially because last month Brent Musburger, doing play-by-play for ESPN, was pilloried for allegedly being sexist because he gushed how Miss Alabama was going out with the Alabama quarterback. Of course she is. If Mr. Musburger was guilty of anything, it was failing to note what a cliché he was dealing in. As Tennessee Williams and William Inge and scores of lesser writers have written, it is all so true. Beautiful women fall for athletes, especially football stars, most especially quarterbacks. If football had been around in Shakespeare's time, the bard would have had Juliet ditch Romeo for Flacco. Dare I say it? Flacco, Flacco, wherefore art thou Flacco? Where have you been, critics of Brent Musburger? Going back before Jane Russell fell for Bob Waterfield, through Joe Namath, and on past Tom Brady, pretty ladies have thrown themselves at field generals. But we seem to have a new trend this Valentine's. More and more, athletes are falling in love with athletes. Why, Danica Patrick is actually going out with a competitor race driver, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. The number one golfer in the world, Rory McIlroy, is canoodling with Caroline Wozniacki, who used to be the number one tennis player. Love seems to have worked better for the golfer. He went to the top of the rankings after the romance started, while Ms. Wozniacki nosedived. Give her a ring, Rory. After all, another top tennis player, Maria Karolinko, recently became engaged to Alex Ovechkin, one of the best hockey players in the world, and Maria's been on a tear ever since Alex proposed. And now comes the news that Tiger Woods, who rather famously or infamously prefers blondes, is at least good friends with Lindsey Vonn, the great skier. When she had a terrible accident on the Austrian slopes last week, the gallant Mr. Woods sent his private plane to fetch her, sort of the modern equivalent of Sir Walter Raleigh spreading his cape in the puddle for Her Majesty. There have been a few all-athletic romances in the past, Ralph Kiner and Nancy Chaffee, Andre Agassi and Steffi Graf, Florence Griffin and Al Joyner, but perhaps especially now that there are so many more female athletes, sports stars are connecting in the workplace just like everybody else. However, even at Valentine's, quarterbacks still seem to prefer beauty queens, and vice versa.
Frank DeFord is a sports commentator for NPR.
If you love Downton Abbey, you're probably dreading the conclusion of Season 3 on February 17th. Cheer up! Make a gift to WILL-TV and receive two tickets to see the Season 3 finale on the big screen in our studio at Campbell Hall at the University of Illinois on Sunday, February 17th. We'll have food, beverages, and prizes, and you can discuss and speculate with other fans. To learn more or to register, call Stacy Rudolph at 217-333-7300.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 13th of February, 2013. It's the birthday of the novelist Georges Simenon, born in Liège, Belgium, 1903, best known for his detective novels featuring Inspector Maigret. He wrote some 400 books, each of which took him on average 8 days to write. This is the week of Valentine's Day. We are here to remind you of that. It is tomorrow. And to put you in mind of love letters, the beauty of them, should you be moved to write one, as Nathaniel Hawthorne did, author of The Scarlet Letter. He wrote love letters to an older woman, Sophia Peabody, whom he married. and on his first wedding anniversary wrote to her, "We were never so happy as now, never such wide capacity for happiness, yet overflowing with all that the day and every moment brings to us. Methinks this birthday of our married life is like a cape, which we have now doubled and find a more infinite ocean of love stretching out before us." And James Joyce, the author of complex fiction containing enigmas and puzzles and wordplay, wrote so simply to his great love, Nora Barnacle. In 1909, he wrote, "You are my only love. You have me completely in your power. I know and feel that if I am to write anything fine or noble, I shall do so only by listening to the doors of your heart. I love you deeply and truly, Nora. There is not a particle of my love that is not yours. If you would only let me, I would speak to you of everything in my mind. But sometimes I fancy from your look that you would only be bored by me. Anyhow, Nora, I love you. I cannot live without you. I would like to give you everything that is mine, any knowledge I have, any emotions I myself feel or have felt, any likes or dislikes I have, any hopes I have or remorse. I would like to go through life side by side with you, telling you more and more until we grew to be one being together, until the hour should come for us to die. Even now the tears rush to my eyes and sobs choke my throat as I write this. Nora, we have only one short life in which to love. Oh, my darling, be only a little kinder to me. Bear with me a little, even if I am inconsiderate and unmanageable, and believe me, we will be happy together. Let me love you in my own way. Let me have your heart always close to mine, to hear every throb of my life, every sorrow, every joy." Here's a poem for today by Hal Sirovitz, entitled Undecided. "Your mother and I didn't know what to get you for a present," Father said. "We kept asking you, but you wouldn't tell us. So we got what's good for all occasions, a shirt. But since we've given you that for your last three birthdays, we were hoping to give you something different. We were thinking of just giving you cash, but that'd have been too impersonal. Plus, you might have saved it and not spent it. This way, even if you don't wear them, we might